Painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking. KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
February has been on fire with art events during the frozen temperatures, and things just keep heating up. Today on Artbeat, we learn about a murder mystery coming to Winona this weekend in collaboration with Theater du Mississippi. Then keep listening as I visit with Crystal Heggie from Frozen River Film Festival. She'll fill us in on the Hot Topic documentaries, the events, workshops, and more taking place February 24th through the 28th. She'll also tell us about the warm-up events happening this week through early next week. I'm Terry Tunsett, and you're listening to Artbeat. Soon, Theater du Mississippi will be partnering with Andrew Lee Dolan and Peter Haringa for a piece called My Life is All But Over. The description I got was half detective story, half lecture demo, and half memorial service for a man no one has ever met, which gives me a hole and a half, so it's almost like a show and then some. And I have Andrew Lee Dolan on the phone with me to explain that. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So tell me about this explanation. There's a lot that you're packing into this show.
So the show is based around a true unsolved murder mystery. It's referred to as the Somerton Man. And in 1948, a body was found on a beach in Australia. And to this day, nobody knows who he is or where he came from. And so our exploration of this unsolved mystery is to do film noir murder mystery reenactments. Try to uncover who this man is. And in tandem, we're exploring and asking the question, how do we grieve? How do we let go? Over the past 60 years, people have been trying to figure out who this man is. And it continues to stir up controversy.
So I take it there hasn't been any further studies into it.
According to the police department in Adelaide, this is still considered to be an open and ongoing investigation, even after 60 years. And so they have taught cryptology graduate level classes on the Somerton Man. There have been petitions to do DNA testing to take the body out of the graveyard and see who he is and figure out where he came from.
So how did you find out about the Somerton Man, and how did you and Peter get together to explore this more?
In 2009, Peter made a solo performance exploring different facets of this case. It has been widely discussed online, and when he and I started working together in 2013 through a commission by the Red Eye Theater here in Minneapolis, we thought, oh, let's expand on the solo performance. And so we spent 6 months digging into the case, looking at film noir, murder mysteries, and memorial services. And after 6 months, we put up a performance in Minneapolis, and the Red Eye loved it so much that they commissioned us in 2014 to finish the performance. And so it had its premiere in Minneapolis in 2014.
That's great. Where else have you been performing this?
So far, it's been performed twice at the Red Eye, and now we're bringing it to Winona.
In the description, it says it's half lecture as well, but I'm guessing it doesn't feel like one when you're there watching.
For us, we're inviting the audience into the theater, and we talk to them. Peter talks to the audience as Peter. We read excerpts from the case file and then try to put it in context. So it's like a performance, lecture demonstration, and then we do a reenactment of film noir style performance, try to get at what is in the case file. But it's really driven by trying to understand this man.
I can imagine delving into this subject, it could be really consuming. Did you find yourself having a hard time digging out, so to speak, you and Peter?
Oh, we have spent many hours after rehearsal, coming up with hypotheticals of, was he a government spy? Was he poisoned? We've looked through the actual autopsy trying to, and we're like hundreds of other people who are still trying to track down the answers to this. We're also digging into what does it mean to lose somebody. So we have chosen to try to solve an unsolvable case. And for us, that's a little like saying goodbye or grieving, in that when somebody passes from your life, there might not ever be any answers to wrap it up into a neat answer, a neat way to say goodbye. And so, like an unsolved case, grief is messy. And so the show is also exploring that.
In doing research on something so fascinating, sometimes it's hard to see outside of the project you're working on. What did you do to make sure it wasn't consuming your life?
We've been working on this on and off for since 2009, with Peter making a performance and then us working on it in 2013, and then in 2014, and now in 2016. And we set the project down. And we walk away, and then we each go and do other performances with other companies. But the story is so compelling that it's really hard to not dig yourself into it, because there is an answer out there somewhere, and we're still searching for the why.
What has been some of the audience feedback you've received? Because it is a fascinating subject.
A lot of people have never heard of the Somerton Man. And so one of the big things that we hear from audience members is they see the show and they go home and they start researching the case.
Mm-hmm.
And they start looking into, like, well, who was he? And then, you know, after all of a sudden you look at the clock and it's 2 hours have gone by and you're still reading about who this man was and all of the different contradictions in the case.
Now, this is taking place the weekend of the 20th, correct?
That's right. We're doing performances Friday night and Saturday night.
Okay, so two nights in Winona. And I know that this collaboration with Theater du Mississippi is great. How did that come about for you? How did you and Peter get involved with Theater du Mississippi in bringing the project or the piece to Winona?
One of our company members, Mark Benzel, went to college in Winona. And he told us about Theater du Mississippi, and we started a conversation with them, and they love plays that deal with history and relevance. And we had this piece that is part history and part, you know, how do we grieve in a world today? And we had more conversations, and it seemed like a great match.
Now, let's talk a little bit about you. You have an MFA in directing and public dialogue from Virginia Tech, but you also have a master's in performance from the National University of Ireland. So did you go to school overseas, I take it?
Yeah. Right when I finished college, I knew I wanted to get out of Minnesota for a bit. And so I went to Ireland. And when in Ireland, I studied a bunch of European performance techniques and got to know how Irish playwrights put together their work. And when I finished grad school there, I came back and there was this very unique opportunity to move to the mountains in Virginia and study one-on-one with a mentor. And I thought, that's too good to pass up. So then I went to Virginia and got my MFA in directing. And after that, I studied with a few different companies in different spots around the country. And then in 2013, I moved back to Minnesota. Peter had the same story. He was also looking for a way to meet a mentor, and he went west. I went east, and he went west. He studied in Colorado at the base of the Rocky Mountains. And I guess that's where you go for guru advice. And then he came back in 2012, and when we both came back into town, we were like, hey, let's make a show. And so we've been working on My Life Is All But Over ever since.
What is it about theater, or what made you pursue it as a profession?
There's something magical about getting a group of people together in the same room to imagine in the same way. And I think that that has the capacity to change lives and change community. There's something, I don't know, inherently human in building community through story. And the fact that I get to wake up and do that day in and day out as like my contribution to the place where I live and to the towns that I'm able to work in, that's always been a dream of mine. I'm so grateful to be able to do that with my work.
Do you like acting or directing more?
Oh, I love directing because I get to hire the most brilliant people I know and then sit back and facilitate their ideas, you know, and make sure that spark the best conversations in the room and keep the project moving forward.
You're a member of Bedlam Theater and Forklift Dance Works. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Are those two places?
Yeah, I've been working as an artist and administrator at Bedlam. I had for the past few years, and I'm also the development director for a dance company, Forklift, down in Austin, Texas. I'm based primarily in Minneapolis, but I do travel.
You kind of have to be okay with that, kind of not knowing what's happening month to month. What's that been like for you as an artist?
Wow. I think it's always been art first and figure out everything else after that. And so that's what drives decision making.
That has to be kind of hard.
It is, but I have yet to find, like, it is the most fulfilling work that I've ever had the privilege of doing. And so it is worth any other sacrifice to be able to put stories on stage for people to see.
You obviously came back to Minnesota for a reason. We have great arts funding here. What else made the decision to make this your home base other than it's where you're from?
After traveling around the country, getting to know how art is funded and supported in a lot of different places, it's really a beautiful thing to see how Minnesotans come out and support the arts. Those are the communities that I wanted to work with, and that's where I wanted to make work. As well, my family is here. I grew up on a farm in southwest Minnesota, and the idea that my family, my friends, people I've known my whole lives can come and see my work and I can share that with them means the world to me.
It sounds like everything you do is out of love, which is great. It's wonderful that you've been able to pursue your career and still love it and not feel jaded. I'm sure there are days where you think twice as to whether you made the correct decision or not, unless that stopped for you, has it? So again, you're coming here to present your piece that you have written with Peter Haringa, My Life is All But Over. Again, it's happening the 19th and the 20th at the historic Masonic Temple Theater here in Winona. Is there anything else you feel like you would want to share with potential audience members?
One of the things I love about this piece is that we are performing ourselves. So the Peter that you see on stage is the Peter in real life. And we're inviting the audience to come into the theater, which we treat like our living room research space. And we would love to share this case file and all of our discoveries, both about this mystery as well as about how we deal with our own lives, and share that with you. That's one of the things I love about it. We might even pour you a soda.
Oh, my. What's next for you after this, Andrew?
After this, we are going back to work on another piece. And we just signed a lease for a rehearsal studio in South Minneapolis. Mm. So we're making a dedicated space to be able to support not only our work, but other artists in Minneapolis.
That's fabulous. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a website with more information about the performance other than Theater du Mississippi?
Theater du Mississippi is going to be the best place to get all of the updated information.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, keep listening as we bring you details on Winona's own documentary film festival taking place next week. I'm Terry Tunset, and you're listening to Art Beat. Well, it's almost that time of the year, practically. I mean, you must be in high gear. I've got Crystal Heggy with me from Frozen River Film Festival, running around like crazy, but lots of excitement because pretty soon
We have a festival.
You have a festival at Winona State University and doing some things in conjunction with Lanesboro.
Yeah, and we start this week, actually, at SMU with our Adrenaline Films, where we show extreme sports film, and that's this Wednesday at St. Mary's University, because, oddly enough, they're on spring break next week.
What?
I know, in February. Who takes a spring break in February?
Do they graduate? They must graduate early. Must be, like, amazing. I don't know.
I think they have a separate two breaks or something. Anyways.
Yeah. Odd.
Yeah.
Well, so you got to get it in.
Yeah.
Got to make it happen.
Yep. So it's happening this week. And then Lanesboro will be reshowing the Adrenaline set. And then we also have a artsy and inspirational film set at the St. Main Theater. And that will be at 4 o'clock on Saturday the 20th. It's going to be really fascinating. There's two film sets. So in between them, you can have a break and go eat some delicious food in Lanesboro.
Like at Pedal Pushers or Intermission.
Go get a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready. Get amped up for those Adrenaline Films.
Yeah. Take your pre-workout.
Yeah. You know, you could do some base jumping if you really
needed to. Yeah. At your own discretion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the theme this year?
Well, we partner with Winona State University's academic theme every year, and their academic theme is in equity and inclusion. So we've been working really intently on bringing films that partner with that. We have a fascinating speaker who's actually flying in from Kigali in Rwanda, Africa. His name is Frederick Ndabaramiye.
Wow, I was wondering how you were...
I've been practicing.
You got it. And he's an artist.
He's also an artist. Yeah, absolutely. So he actually lost his hands during the Rwandan genocide, or just after the Rwandan genocide. And part of his experience of healing from that traumatic experience, not only this his country in ruin, but also physically being disabled, was to use his art as an expression. And so he actually became a painter after he lost his hands. And he's a fabulous painter, and his art will be on display during the film festival. He's coming to speak about his experience, and he's also has a documentary that was made about him called I Am Able, which is a very powerful film about how disability does not mean inability. And he's going to talk about what he did to bring his, in his words, big hurt to big hope. And he's going to be here on Friday, the 26th. Also, he'll be doing a second presentation with the film, and the filmmakers are going to be at the screenings for the film. And so he's going to be doing that. He also has a book called Frederick that he wrote, which is extremely powerful, and you can pick up a signed copy at the screening as well. So he's got all of it. He's got his art, his speaking, his book, and his film that will be at the festival. And it's a powerful story of transformation, and it's inspiring to see what somebody can do in the face of those odds.
Sometimes what defines our character is how we deal with life's challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nice.
Yeah. And the resilience of this man, when I met him, just standing in his presence, you can't help but be humbled. He's just he radiates compassion for all people, and he's an amazing person. And I feel very lucky that we can have him in Winona, and that perhaps his story can inspire others to transform from that big hurt that we all feel in different situations to big hope.
Excellent. Nicely phrased, Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, outside of the films, right, there's other things that happen, too. And this is taking place, I mean, it's a four-day thing.
Yeah, well, it's a five-day.
Five-day, yeah.
And then the pre-festival events, I mean, before the festival even kicks off, we've got a film at Ed's Bar. We're going to do a film and beer tasting. The film is actually free of charge. The beer actually costs.
Well, you know, sorry.
Yes, but we'll be showing the film. The filmmaker will be there. It's called Lost Conquest. It's about the Vikings discovering Minnesota.
Oh, that whole chestnut. Yeah, I visited with the Sons of Norway about that. Yeah, no, there's some interesting stuff that goes beyond the runestone.
Oh, yeah. No, it is fascinating. Our Viking culture is something that is very embedded into our culture. And there are some people who have some very interesting stories about how that came to be. And he does a documentary on it. And it's fascinating.
And he's going to be there?
And he's going to be there.
That's excellent.
I know.
And this is a Minnesota director, take it?
Yep. He's the same director of Wicker Kittens, which we had last year, and the same director of Wild Bill's Run, which we had 3 years ago.
Excellent.
So he's basically a native of Winona.
I want to talk to him.
Definitely.
So the festival runs the 24th through the 28th.
That's correct.
All right. So Sunday there's a wrap up, I know.
Yep. We have the award ceremony where we'll be giving away our prizes for the festival. We give away 4 prizes, I believe, a cash awards to documentary films, a feature, and a student choice award, which is given away by students from Winona State and St. Mary's University. And that comes with a $250 award, and they've already picked their film, so I'm not going to say what it is.
Oh, you're going to keep tight-lipped. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have actually a fascinating group of short films this year, and it's great to be able to honor not just the feature-length filmmakers, but the short filmmakers, because there's a lot of work that goes into 15 minutes or 20 minutes of film that...
You're not kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the festival goes on. Again, the 24th through the 28th. Some films you'll have multiple opportunities to see.
Yes, less this year than other years, just because we had such a great group of films that it was really hard to fit them all in. So most of the films only show once this year.
Okay, what ones are the ones if you had to go see them?
Well, I think that's a really hard to
choose anything.
The thing about documentary films is that they span a lot of genres. So one of the things that I think is interesting this year is we have a film called Almost There, which is actually about an outside artist in Chicago. And he has a long story with his art and being a talent scout for some very well-known filmmaker or well-known actors. But he ended up with some turmoil at his lifetime, and he ended up living in squalor, basically, in Chicago and doing this art. So he was discovered by these filmmakers. And the result is probably one of the most profound films with a narrative of life and passion that I have almost ever seen. I'm really excited to bring this film here. Again, the filmmaker, Dan Rybicki, he will be here as well. I think if you're interested in just a commentary on life and death and in a sometimes very comical way, this would be a really fascinating film to see. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And his art is just bizarre. I mean, he's had a lot of exhibits now since he's been discovered, but just imagine what the mind can do being shut in a basement with leaking water, you know, dripping on your head every day. It's incredible. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that film. We also have a film about 7th and 8th graders called Teen Press, where they go and they actually learn journalism skills. And seeing these 7th and 8th graders ask the governor of California profound questions is fascinating. The filmmaker will be here, but he's going to be coming a week early, so he'll be here next Monday. And he's actually doing a workshop with students from Cotter. He'll also be speaking to Riverway and really trying to inspire our 7th and 8th graders how they can utilize the prominent figures of Winona or people who are coming to Winona to gain understanding about their own life goals. Mm. We're excited that he's coming here to do a workshop, and the students from Cotter will actually be covering the festival and asking our filmmakers questions and hopefully using this as a catalyst as more year-round programming and actually being a viable journalist or a viable journalist program at the school, and we can see a lot more from students.
You know, people forget that film is art. I know that seems stupid, but mm-hmm. they'll group it into entertainment. Mm-hmm. But really, film is a perfect representation, I think, of what's going on in society. And you have all these subgenres within documentary, mm-hmm. which makes the festival really fascinating because, let's be honest, truth is stranger than fiction.
It is. Indeed. Yeah.
So this is
you can't make this stuff
no,
up.
No, you can't make it up.
It's on film.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to stress to people that you wouldn't see this necessarily streaming on Netflix. You wouldn't see it on Hulu. You wouldn't see it on Prime. So you want to get your tickets in advance. You want to kind of plan out via the website what you're going to see and get there early enough to get a seat.
Right. Absolutely. Our tickets are available online. They're also available at our box office, which is at Chapter 2 Books, 121 West 3rd Street. And when you buy your pass to the festival, it doesn't guarantee you a seat. It's kind of all open seating. Mm-hmm. So it is important to get there a bit early so that you can make sure you can get the seat that you want or get a seat at all. We don't like turning people away, but it happens. Definitely, I think that we've got so many different kinds of films, and it's you know, participating in the arts, people think of as something that you do. You watch a film or you look at a piece of art from behind a glass. But participating in the arts is something that we do all the time. We participate by watching movies, by listening to music in our vehicles. And this is another way that, you can engage in the art forms. You can actually be a part of them. You can talk to the directors. You can be a part of your community and what's happening by sitting next to somebody or being a part of the atrium. And I think that sometimes we feel that art is not something that we can affect, but it is actually about us and we're affecting it all the time.
And then we have the discussions that happen afterwards. Yep. When if you look at something in a museum, you can say, this reminds me of this. But when you get talking about documentaries, there's usually a social issue or some sort of internal issue with universal appeal for people, and it gets that dialogue going. Mm-hmm. So it's another form of expression right there.
Absolutely. And I think filmmakers work really hard to portray those messages through real life. Like you said, it's stranger than fiction,
right?
Because you can't make up real life because it's just too raw and too real and beautiful and comical and crazy and quirky and all everything that makes life exciting and traumatic at the same time.
Are there any music acts tying in?
Yeah, we have a concert at Ed's No Name Bar. Dead Man Winter is going to be coming out for the Meltdown.
Nice. Okay,
yeah. So we're excited about that. And Ed always has a great lineup. He's a big supporter of the festival for music. So you could check his website out for those late night activities if people are needing some place to unwind after the festival. And we also have speakers. We have a filmmaking workshop this year by a filmmaker named George Gage, who's been at the festival with Bitter 70 and a number of other films. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and I would definitely encourage everyone to check out our website, frozenriver.org, so they can see the lineup. We've got some great films, workshops, music, speakers, and, you know, just wonderful fun hanging out in the atrium, eating food by Blooming Grounds, Tansy's on Main, looking at the different art exhibits that we're having. We have Bernadette Mahfoud's art in the atrium on display and other organizations that she was a part of, she's our business director who passed away this last December, and she was a part of a lot of organizations.
She was. She was a spearhead, man.
Man, somebody recently told me that they didn't realize when talking to her that she always said she was involved in the arts, but she was the art community.
Yeah. And you can't ever refill the shoes of somebody who is that passionate and just loved being involved. She loved this community.
She did. Yeah. It was her passion, this community. We can try to live up to her passions by exhibiting them at the festival. So we're really excited. We'll have her pollinator table there. We'll have her art there and a number of other things, Healthy Lake Winona, a number of things that she was involved with. So if you're looking for more information about any of those organizations, they're still going.
And strong.
And strong.
Yeah. So more information's at frff.org?
Yep, frff.org, frozenriver.org. They'll both take you to the same place and lots of information there. So take it in.
Before we leave, the important things, how much are the passes?
Yes, that's important information.
Because they're student ones too, right?
Yep. Well, students attend Winona State, Southeast Tech, and St. Mary students all attend at no charge, thanks to the student senates at each of the schools for contributing to the festival. And for community members, tickets are $12 for an individual ticket that will get you into any workshop, any festival event. And then the passes, which will get you into everything, including the VIP reception and some of the other events in February, including Lanesboro and things like that, those are $70.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming in to fill us in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You bet. Thanks again to Andrew Lee Dolan from My Life Is All But Over for visiting with us. More information on the performance and how you can attend can be found at theaterdumississippi.org. We'd like to extend another thank you to Crystal Heggie from Frozen River Film Festival for filling us in on all the exciting details of next week's events. More information on Frozen River Film Festival can be found at frff.org and on Facebook. I'm Terry Tunset, and you've been listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.